Aren't you glad this morning that he died for us, each one of us? I'm so thankful. If you want to look with us, why don't we look over into the first chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah, the first chapter. I'd like to start reading there with the first verse. And as I was thinking about this, we've had the snow for a good while, and I've looked at how white the snow was. So white and pure. And I had to think of the scripture on down in the chapter, which speaks about, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I don't know, I think we have a song, don't we, that says, whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Wash me just now and make me whiter than snow. And I thought, that snow is so white. How can it be whiter than snow? And yet, you know, if you take a handful of that snow and put it in a glass and let it melt, and you look at it, there's a lot of times there's little black specks, there's little bits of impurity. But when God does a job for us, there's no impurity, there's no little black specks. He cleans us. The snow covers, and yet underneath of it, it may be mud, but God cleanses us and purifies us and makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus. Maybe getting ahead of myself here. Let's start in with the first verse. This wasn't a pretty picture at first, but it's the way that each one of us are before the Lord takes care of us. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Maybe we'll just stop right here and have prayer before we go on. Father, we thank thee today for the privilege that we have of gathering in this way to worship thee. We pray that thou will help us, Lord, that the word might sink deep into our hearts and that it might become a part of us in our everyday living. We just thank thee for the word of God that is pure, that is holy, that is inerrant, that we can put our complete trust on the rock of ages, that Jesus is the Word, and the Word is God. And we pray that thou will help us today, that as we partake of the good things of God, the living bread and the living water, that we might grow spiritually and be more like thee. Just have thy way with us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 3, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, that have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even into the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. It's a dark picture that we have here starting out. And he first off, he said that, you know, here that he had nourished and brought up children, and then they turned against him. They rebelled against him. And, you know, every one of us is a free moral agent this morning. We can do what we will. We can do what we want to with Jesus. Now, we have the privilege of making those choices. We have that privilege during lifetime. But when we come to the end of life, then things switch around. And what we've done with Jesus, the consequences will be in his hands and in the hands of God. If we've yielded our hearts and lives to him, wonderful. It's going to be a complete time of release from all these earthly things that are around us. But if we've done like these ones have done and rebelled against what God has laid out as pure and holy, then it's in his hands, and all of a sudden, then instead of having Jesus to be, I have heard some people say that it's like that he pleads our cause before the judge, before the Father, and says, these are mine, I have cleansed them, I've made them my children. And yes, they were sinful, they were horrible condition, but Father, they're mine. I have made them new creatures in Christ Jesus and presents them to the Father. And then he takes our hand and leads us, like the song says, through the promised land. What a day that will be. But these ones that the Lord had nourished and brought up his children, they had rebelled against him. You know, it's wonderful if we become Christians and real Christians. But it's even more wonderful as we walk day by day in the light and keep close to him and stay close to him. Because light that is refused, light that is rejected, brings great darkness. And it makes darkness so that a person that once was walking in the light can be like a young man I used to know and a mother that I used to know in that family. And they said, well, we just can't see it like that now. We don't see it like that. And they truly couldn't, because they were spiritually blind completely. Things had changed. All of a sudden, the things at one time that they could see was clear and open before them. Now their eyes were blind completely. And it's a wonderful thing when God, as he nourishes us up and brings up each one of us in the way of God, but we must keep walking in the light. We don't dare want to let little things creep in and get between us and the Lord, so that now we can't pray like we used to be able to. Now there's something that is between us and God. It's an awful situation here. These ones that were his, nourished and brought up, now he says they have awful wounds. They've got bruises. They've got putrefying sores that haven't even been closed up. These awful sores that are just oozing, putrefying. It's an awful condition they find themselves in. And they haven't been doctored. The sores haven't been taken care of. They haven't been had the ointment put on them, and it's just a terrible condition. Well, the doctor said to me one time, I had taken some sulfa antibiotic for about 12 days, and I think he'd give me enough for 14 days. And there had been no problem, and it seemed to take care of the problem that I had. But on up till within 2 days of finishing it up, I had a reaction and started getting these big old red splotches all over me. And immediately I thought, well, I've just got 2 days and this has really helped me. And I didn't really want to quit it. I wanted to take it all so that it would take care of the problem. But I thought, I better not. And so I quit and went back to the doctor. And he said, well, it's a good thing you did quit, because he said, since you had a reaction against it, if you would have kept taking it, he said you could have broken out in just awful sores all over you. Awful condition. Let's read a little further here. He says in verse 7, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? Now here's the condition, which is a horrible condition. Someone that has known God personally and had personal relationship with God day by day, and God has answered your prayers. He has helped you, and you've sensed his presence near you. These people, all of a sudden, he says here, what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beast, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of the goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me, the new moons and the Sabbaths and the calling of assemblies. I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Now here are things that in their place as we obey God, those were wonderful things. Back there he instituted the different offerings, the burnt offerings and all of these things. But he's saying here that if you're not in the right place with God, all these things are an abomination unto God. Prayer that would reach up to God and bring you closer to him, he's not desiring sacrifices. He's saying that obedience is better than sacrifice, even like he did to Saul. Even the assemblies, the calling of assemblies, and he said to assemble yourselves together. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But especially in the day, as we realize that the Lord is coming soon, that we dare not slack off. We dare not become lazy spiritually and lay at home in pleasure while we need the help of being together and being able to challenge each other to a closer walk with God. But here's a situation where that he says that the calling of assemblies I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. And if you have someone sitting there and putting on a front and living in sin and professing to worship God, it's obnoxious in his sight. You have someone that gets down and goes through a little ceremony of prayer and is not praying from the heart, but praying, trying to pray on top of covered sin and things like that. It's an abomination in the sight of God unless he prays the prayer of the sinner, the repentant prayer. How serious it is that we live for the Lord and live a careful life, so much the more as we see the day approaching when Jesus is coming back to do exactly what we read in our Sunday school lessons this morning. Take the tares out and into the fire, and the good wheat gathered together to the Lord. He says, your new moons and your appointed feast my soul hateth, in verse 14. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. If this is where we had to stop right here, it'd be a dismal picture, wouldn't it? Almost, it's a lot worse than when I came up our hill last night, come across the valley, and I came up the hill, and there's no more snow on the road, so I just had it in two-wheel drive, and came up the hill and noticed mud up ahead on the hillside, but I didn't pay a lot of attention to it, and I just kept steadily going down up the hill, and I thought, well, I wonder if I'm going to get stuck right here on this hillside. You know, think of a hill that it'd be a rocky old hillside and be plenty of traction. Got about halfway up, and I just kept going a certain speed, and I slowed down, slowed down, and slowed down. And all of a sudden, I was just sitting there. My tires were spinning right on that hillside. Couldn't believe getting stuck on a hillside. Well, I guess I need a four-wheel drive, so I punched it in four-wheel drive. And I started up. And it started crawling out of it, and I went on up over the hill. But I had to think about the same water that makes the pretty white snow, and it can fall all over and cover up all of this, all the mud and the things. I sort of grabbed on to something my wife said the other day, and some of you from Pennsylvania, you don't need to go tell her. She's not feeling good, and she's not here today. But she said, this sort of reminds me of back in Pennsylvania. Seemed like always muddy snow. And I didn't say anything, but I thought, usually it's always the most beautiful leaves in Pennsylvania. Just nothing compared. Missouri can't compare to that. But all of a sudden, I had a little something there. You know, I'm thankful that God can put the white snow. He can cleanse our hearts. He can make us pure. And we don't have to have this old mud and slop all around. But I had to think, too, the same little bit of water can make pure white snow, or it can make old brown ugly mud. And the same Holy Spirit, when He speaks to our hearts, He can speak. And if He finds a tender heart that embraces what God has for us, it can make us more pliable and more useful as we walk in the light and carefully, conscientiously live a holy life. Or if it's rejected, it can just become hard and just make us harder. The same Spirit speaking, if we harden our neck, harden our heart, before long we get so hard that it just hits and runs off, hits and runs off. Well, I appreciate these next few verses. And I know every one of us had to come by the way of the cross. In verse 16 it says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Stop your living in sin. Live for the Lord. Give your heart entirely to Him. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I'd just like to relate a little incident that took place a number of years ago in a little mining town. A revival was going on. God was speaking, and there was a miner there that night who responded to the dealing of the Lord. He had a hard struggle. He was striving to enter in at the straight gate, and he'd prayed together, the minister was there praying with him for a good long time. And yet he didn't feel like that he was clear, that everything was out of the way. He wanted to be sure that everything was clear. And after a long time, the minister said, well, why don't you go home and continue to seek the Lord? Come back tomorrow night and get things straightened out. Well, he said, I want to be clear tonight. I want to have it settled tonight. They were both weary, and yet he was not satisfied that he had peace with God at that point. And they continued to pray and prayed on till midnight, and after praying and seeking God's will, and no doubt he was confessing his sins, repenting before God, and he wanted to be sure that he had hit the rock, that he was right with the Lord. And it seemed like the Lord suddenly gave him that peace and the satisfaction, the assurance that everything was clear. All was clear between his soul and the Lord, and he was rejoicing. Went home that night late, actually be early in the morning, I guess it was. And the next morning he went out just as normal, took his dinner pail and hurried on to the mines. He was there early, working away, mining the coal. It was about 4:30 p.m. that late afternoon, and all of a sudden there were several tons of slate and rock come right down upon and caught that miner. His fellow workmen, they rushed to him and found his body under that awful mass of rock, but his head and his shoulders was sticking out. And as they knelt there around him with their digging lamps, and they said there was a smile on that miner's face. And just as he slipped away to be with the Lord, he said, oh, I'm so glad I settled it last night. I'm so glad I settled it last night. I'm glad that we can settle it once and for all to go all the way with the Lord. No turning back, no looking back, no running after the things of the world, no dabbling in sin, but rejecting the world's everything the devil has to try to tempt us with, have nothing to do with it, going all the way through with the Lord. And we can be ready when our last moment comes, and it will for every one of us, that we can be ready to leave this world prepared and everything clear before the Lord. Let's kneel in prayer.